We thought.
Yeah, apparently the summer schedule is a little different, so some of them will be late, but we have to start.
Okay. Mechem is going to be the third part, the last part of this topic. Just to chaza a drop, because we need it for today as well, is in the first vad we had, the site of the Maral, that the love that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has for Klal Yisrael is an unconditional love. It's deeper than the love that the fa a regular father has for his child. It's so profound that even with our chatoyim, no matter what we do, HaKadosh Baruch Hu still loves us, and he loves us just the same. Something that we can't fully comprehend. But it's an unconditional love. It's an Ava she'ina tluya b'davar. And Ni Hashem lo shenisi. HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't change. From his perspective, the Klal Yisrael, he loves Klal Yisrael the same. And he explained that that was why Avraham Avinu came to the scene in Lech Lecha, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu loves him, and he promised him Gevaldika Toivis, even though it never explained Avram Sitkis, because this has nothing to do with Avram Sitkis. HaKadosh Baruch Hu was bocher by Avram because of Avram's DNA. He was bocher by Avram because of who Avram was, not because of what Avram did. In the second vad, we took it to the next step, and that is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu's love to Klal Yisrael is constant. No break, even b'shas the galus, even b'shas the galus, HaKadosh Baruch Hu loves us no matter what, and even b'shas he's throwing us into the galus, b'shas the churban habayis itself, b'shas the sreifa where we mentioned 80,000 pirkei kohuna were nebuch burned to death. At that very moment, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was orchestrating a nes to save Yeshua, who's going to be the Yeshua Kohen Gadol, the Rosh HaShoshalos of all the Kohanim Gadolim, who will take us out of that Galus Yavan. And the Kosh Baruch Hu set us up Mamidim, Manhigim for Klal Yisrael, that were tailor-made to get us out of each Galus. Kosh Baruch Hu didn't let go for one moment. He loves us and taking care of us, and he's providing for us constantly. And all that really comes back to the pasuk that we started from all the way at the beginning, which is the end of the Teichacha. Va'av gam zois b'yoisim be'eretz oyveim loy ma'astim. I didn't abhor them, v'loy ga'altim, and I didn't reject them. L'chaloisim l'hafe brisi itam. Kadosh Baruch Hu loves Klal Yisrael even at the end of the Teichacha, which is like mamish the max, the spitz of tzaris. Nevertheless, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, no, it's not for me. I look out to him. I didn't reject you. I love you just the same. I was not made for the bris. And in the end, Chazal learned that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was mamid manhigim for Klal Yisrael to take us out of each galus. And they dashen from each word another galus. Galus Bavel, galus Modai, galus Yavin, and finally our galus ending. Today, I want to take it to the next step to get an understanding of how this plays a role, not only in our perspective and our feelings towards the Golis and our feelings to understand HaKadosh Baruch Hu's perspective somewhat, but also it plays a role in how we have to act as well. It's going to take time to develop. Just give me a little bit of the time and we'll see. It's a very sadistic, and this is really, if one thinks about it, this is perhaps one of the major sadists that Yiddishkeit is gebaut on, our relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We'll see. At the beginning of Parshas Bris Milah, the end of Brisi Beinu Veinecha, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I will give the Bris, my Bris, Beinu Veinecha, between me and you. And in that Parsha, we will know that the Lashon Bris was repeated countless times. Chazal say, Mila netanis b'yud gemal brisis. It's a chashva thing. It was yud gemal brisis. Chaim Kanievsky Zatzal once made a joke. He used to get kfata quite often, sandakois quite often, and one day he got 13 sandakois all in one day, and he told his gabbai, "G'day l'mila shenitna b'yud gemal brisis." He had today yud gemal brisis. Now we know a bris is a treaty. It's a pact. It's a pact with, let's say, today. It's a pact between nations. It has to have an objective. There's an objective to every bris, to every treaty. There's an objective. It could be either peace treaty. That's the objective is peace, like we know with, let's say, what happened with a number of countries in the Middle East. It could be a treaty for mischar, like we have the NAFTA agreement. That there's free trade between the countries. It could be a bris, let's say, for war, that we have to defend each other, like NATO. But every bris has an objective. That's what the bris is made on. It's we will carry his bris on something. What was the pact on? So we have to understand when HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I gave a bris, b'ni l'v'neich u'v'neicha, what is the bris that we're referring to? Obviously, we know the Pashtun of Bris Mila, but even that needs a beer. Why is Mila called a Bris? What is it? It's a mitzvah like all other mitzvahs. So what's the inyan of a Bris? What's the Bris that we're referring to? What was the Bris that Kal Yisrael entered into with HaKadosh Baruch Hu? So Rashi on the spot takes care of the problem, and he teaches that Mabrisi, Bris Shel Ahava, a Bris of love. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is curious a bris with Avram for love, not for peace, and not for mischar, and not for defending wars. No, it was a bris for love. And the Shaharon explains that Rashi got it from the Pasuk, because the Pasuk said, Vetna brisi deini uveinecha. Says it's a bris that has to do with me and you, our relationship. It was a bris on the relationship that Hashem has with Klal Yisrael. That's brisi So we have to understand, Rabbi said, what does it mean you have a bris of ahava? I have a bris, I love you, and you love me. That's our bris. We love each other. Okay, that's a bris. Now, l'chayra, mamonashach, if you're my friend, and we help you out each other, and you're supposed to be loved, great. So then, but why do you need a bris for? I'll naturally love you, and you'll naturally love me. And if you stabbed me in the back, Khalilah, you rejected me, you turned on me, so then why should I love you? What's the point of loving? What's the point of having this bris? Then forget, I'm not gonna have a bris with you to love you. What's the point of a bris? And then you're not right for my ahava. So then what's the point of this bris? So I think this comes back to this Maral's Yesod. And this is Gufa, the bris that was made by Bris Mila with Avram Avinu. That was the bris. The bris was that even if Klal Yisrael is Chaitim, even if Klal Yisrael is not right for the Ava of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, nevertheless, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was Kairis Bris Ava with Klal Yisrael, that he's going to love Klal Yisrael no matter what they do, regardless. It's an Ava She'ena Tuliyah B'Davar. That was the bris. It was the bris shel ahava. I'm giving you my bris shel ahava, that no matter what you do, no matter what your offspring does, the doiris, Klal Yisrael does in the future, I love Klal Yisrael just the same. It was an ahava she'ena tluya b'davar. And that's the ahava that we were referring to, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu loves Klal Yisrael. In times of Geula and times of Galus, it's regardless. Times of mitzvahs, times of Averis, it doesn't make a difference. That is the Bris Shel Ahava, that even when you're not Roy, still I love you. And with this, we could understand a bit more that Bris. The Bris says, V'akimoyis es brisi b'ni uveinecha, uvein zaracha echrecho for the generations to come. The bris olam, an eternal bris. It's forever. This bris is forever. Now, L'chaira, it doesn't make any sense. How do you have a bris forever? There is no bris that was ever made by mankind that was forever. And the very reason is, it's Parshat, is because every bris has conditions. It's a bris for something. And if you breach the bris, then I'm no longer bound to that bris. If we have a pact that we're going to have shalom with between us, Avimelech and Avraham Avinu, and then Avimelech violated that bris, so Chazal say, Avraham Avinu is no longer bound to that bris. It's a two-way street. If we have a bris, it goes both ways. So if you violate the terms of the bris, then I'm no longer bound to this bris. So every bris, by its nature, can never be forever. It's never absolute, can never be eternal, because it's all dependent on something. It's dependent on whatever the bris was made on. If the bris was made on free trade, and all of a sudden Canada would decide they're no longer trading for free to America, so America is no longer bound, and America doesn't have to trade to Canada. So how could you have a bris that's like he might say as brisi l'doiroisam, a bris ben even zarak akrek l'doiroisam l'bris? How the child to have an eternal bris? It's an oxymoron. A bris can never be eternal. But like the Maral, it's very moving. It's because what's going on here is that's good for the bris. The bris is, I will love Klal Yisrael regardless of what they do, and regardless even if they breach the bris, even if they violate the bris, they do averis. The poigim in the kedusha kvayochol in this world that we see, the kedusha of Gadroka, they create a chilul Hashem. They deny Hashem's presence. Nevertheless, HaKadosh Baruch Hu loves them the same. Memela, that bris is the only bris that could be a bris island, because that's good for the terms of the bris. The bris is that even though you violate the bris, I still love you. And the bris is still Kayim. Memela, this is the only bris that could be a bris island. And we go back to the Pasuk at the end of Techaka. Ve'av gam zois b'yoisam be'eretz oyveim lo'y ma'astim ve'lo'y ga'otim l'chaloisam l'hafer brisi itam. That is what the Torah is referring to. The reason why lo'y ma'astim ve'lo'y ga'otim l'chaloisam, all the galus like the Gemara Megillah Darshan from this pasuk, is because l'hafer brisi itam, because I have a bris with Klal Yisrael, and that bris was the bris of Ahava. That was the bris that we got by Bishas Bris Milah. And that bris is a bris olam. That no matter what, l'dayraisam, it's a bris olam. No matter what Klal Yisrael does, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu kept his part of the bris is no matter what, I will never, l'chaloisam, gaotim, no matter what, l'hafa brisitim, I keep my side of the deal. The Medrash says, it's a bavusta Medrash in Bereishis Rabbah, Chazkas. The Medrash says, Amr Rabbi Levi, Lasad Lavoi, Avraham Avinu, is Yoshev al Pesach Gehenim. He stands, he sits by the opening to Gehenim. Ve'enu meniach adam mal b'Yisrael leirid l'toicha. And he doesn't allow any yid to enter Gehenim. But don't say any yid. Enu meniach adam mal b'Yisrael leirid l'toicha. He doesn't allow any yid who was circumcised, who had a bris milah, to enter Gehenim. And L'chaira, one could explain that Pshat is based on what we just said, because that was the bris. The bris of Bris Milah was that the Baruch Hu loves every Yid regardless. So Mela, no matter how low the Yid fell, how low he stooped, no matter what, HaKadosh Baruch Hu still loves him. So Mela, based on that Bris Milah, he's not going to let him enter Gehinnom. That was the bris Avraham Avinu had with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So Avraham Avinu has the right to be Tevei the Bris and stand on Pesach Gehenim and not allow any Yid who's Mal to enter. Because every Yid who's Mal has that Bris. They are the Deiros on the Bris Olam. Memela, they're loved by HaKadosh Baruch Hu regardless of what they do. So Rabbi Sai, until now we were talking about really one part of the Bris. The Bris has two sides. Dual perspectives, goes both ways. It's a two-way street. So now we're talking about the Ahava that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has to Klal Yisrael, regardless of what Klal Yisrael does. It's an unconditional love. But that very same bris, that we hold Kavayachal HaKadosh Baruch Hu up to, the very same bris we also entered into with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We have to love HaKadosh Baruch Hu regardless of what HaKadosh Baruch Hu does, regardless if we understand it or not, through the thick and thin of things. We entered a bris. Avraham Avinu entered the bris. The Av of Klal Yisrael entered this bris on behalf of all his doiros. And it was a bris, l'doiraisam l'bris olam, that we have to love HaKadosh Baruch Hu regardless of what he does. B'chol eis u'b'chol sha, b'chol tzara sh'lo tavoy, well, with the understanding we don't understand it, mamish in the thick of October 7th, it doesn't make a difference. During that tragedy, during the Holocaust, during the tzaras that every single person has, lo yaleinu, we have to love HaKadosh Baruch Hu through the tragedy. Now, of course, we know when Maminim B'nai Maminim, we understand at different levels of clarity, we understand that HaKadosh Baruch Hu only means our good. Kol Adama Rachmano L'Tavavit. We know that. But the hevdu between our intellect and our hearts is Rachuk Yosef from Shemayim Va'aretz. And we can understand it up here, but we might not understand it in our hearts. But the bris is mechayiv, that we have to have rikshei ahava. We have to love Hashem even in the tzara. We have to love Hashem no matter what he does. We have to love Hashem, whether we understand it or not. Because that was the bris milah that we all have. And the bris that we all entered to as when we were a child, a baby. We might not be able to get to, from the Vyadata Hayoim to Vashevoisalavavecha. We can't get that, but we have to have it internally just by itself. We have to have a constant Ava for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, no matter what happens. Because that was the bris shel Ava that we have. We expect him to love us no matter what, and he expects us to love him no matter what. We had a bad day, the baby kept us up at night, whatever it might be, all the tzaras that each one of us all have. There's nobody in the world that doesn't have some type of insight or tzara going on. Layolenu. And no matter what it is, we have to love HaKadosh Baruch Hu throughout. Not when things get better, and not when we understand it, and not when we get chizik from somebody who puts us in a better mood or a better perspective. Without that, we have to love HaKadosh Baruch Hu even when we're down. Even when it's weighing on us, our challenges, we have to love HaKadosh Baruch Hu because it's an Ava she'eina tluya b'davar. Just like he loves us, an Ava she'eina tluya b'davar. That was the Ve'enes Brisi, a Bris shel Ava. If you remember, Abaisa, we started off in the first Vad, we mentioned a Tana de'Eliyahu. And really, the Tana de'Eliyahu incorporates the Maral and incorporates this as well. Shanu Chachamim, b'Mishnah, kol ava shi'i tluya b'dava, batal dava, batla ava. V'she'eina tluya b'dava, eina b'teila la'olam. V'eizihi, ava she'eina tluya b'dava. And what's an ava that's not tluya b'dava? Watch the words of the Tana of Eliyahu. K'goin ahavason shel Avraham, Yitzchak v'Yaakov. She'heim oyavim la'Kadosh Baruch Hu. They love HaKadosh Baruch Hu no matter what. It's not totally B'dava. HaKadosh Baruch Hu oyev oysam ves b'neihem u'b'nei b'neihem atzayif kol ha'deiris. That's an avishin totally B'dava. Notice that the Tana B'Eliyahu says both ways. Not just what HaKadosh Baruch Hu loves us, what we love HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the avah that Avraham, Yitzchak, v'Yaakov shem oyevim la'HaKadosh Baruch Hu an avishin totally B'dava. Whether they understood HaKadosh Baruch Hu ways, they didn't understand his ways, it was challenging, the Asar Nisyonis, Akedas Yitzchak, every Nisoyin, every challenge, Yaakov's whole life was fraught with challenges. Because I'll say, right, Esav and Dinah, it's right, one by one, everything, no matter what, it's an Avash in Atuliyah Badava, they loved HaKadosh Baruch Hu constantly, whether they understood it or not. And we all know Chazal brings in numerous places that they will oh, Hiraru Achami Doisa. HaKadosh Baruch Hu had a taina on Moshe Rabbeinu. He had a taina on Moshe Rabbeinu that the others, was revealed to the Abbas, Harbi Pumim, Niglesi Alav Ram Yitzchak V'Yakov V'Koshakai, V'lo Hiru. They didn't question my ways, the challenges that they had to buy a plot of land to bury Sarah, no matter what. They were not Mahara Achim Yidoisai. They loved HaKadosh Baruch Hu constantly, even though they didn't understand it. Let's be clear. Avada the Ovis had a greater Hakara in the ways of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, far greater Hakara than we do. Far greater. But there were many things that they also didn't understand. Below Hiruru Achami Doisai. They loved HaKadosh Baruch Hu constantly throughout. It was Kilu to emulate the Rabbi Shimon's Midah, Ani Lo Shenisi. I love that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, regardless of what he sends his way. Avraham Avinu loved the HaKadosh Baruch Hu when he took Yitzchak to the Akedah, like he loved HaKadosh Baruch Hu the day before he knew about the Akedah. Yitzchak Avinu, the Chazal Darshan, that Yitzchak Avinu walked together with Avraham to the Akedah, and then again it said he was with him, and Chazal Darshan, that even though in between he was disclosed, Avraham Avinu told him what the purpose of the Akedah was, he still loved the HaKadosh Baruch Hu just the same. There was no Hevdel, Ani Lo Shinisi. He loved HaKadosh Baruch Hu regardless of the challenge. That's the Bris Shel Aved that Klal Yisrael entered into, that every one of us entered into, and that every one of us enters our children into. All our children, we amal our children, we're entering to Vayta, to this Bris Shel Aved. We're going to love HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and Aved Sheinu Tliya B'Gavah. I think we all know of families that unfortunately are suffering tremendously. They have children who are somewhat teetering at the brink, what the Veil calls children at risk, or unfortunately, Rachman Latzon, they're already over the cliff. And if anyone's involved in these type of families, the Eitzah to give them is to have unconditional love with these children. The experts say, and it's been proven time and time again, that unconditional love is the most effective tool. It's the most successful technique to bring these children back. The stress, the pain, the havoc these children wreak on the home is unfathomable. The parents can't sleep at night, their hair turns white. And yet the parent has to show unwavering love, unconditional love. He comes home in the middle of the night. He leaves in the middle of the night. He's on drugs. He's on alcohol. He's with girls, no matter what. And they just have to bite the lip hard and hug and kiss that child. And if they are successful in doing that, and doing that again and again and again, then eventually the child comes back. And throughout that time, the children, this child, this type of a child will test his parents, bedafka, to see if his parents really love him, crawl under their skin, challenge them time and time again. But if they stay firm and foster that love, hopefully 2, 3, 4 years later, that child will come back. And it's meisim b'chol yom, unfortunately, that these haven't. But Baruch Hashem, we see the children coming back and then eventually getting married and raising normal families, Baruch Hashem, being productive in society. And the way it's done is by showing mamish, unconditional love. The parents who can't do that, unfortunately, their children don't come back. It's a challenge that our generation has. I have to assume that probably many of the generations in the past had it. It just wasn't known. It became like on the forefront of society in the last 20, 30, 40 years. And there's so many speeches and lectures about it and support groups and unfortunately an organization trying to help these children. But it's something that's apparently more pronounced in our generations. And of course, we cannot know the ways of Hashem. We can't know his cheshbonos, why he's challenging us with this. But perhaps one could suggest that one of the reasons Hashem is challenging Klal Yisrael with this particular nisayon is to help us develop unconditional love for another yid. If we have to develop it on our child, as stressful as it may be, then we can now apply it to somebody else. And then we could also apply it and extend it to the Rabbanim Shalom. We could have that unconditional love for others. We don't have to like our spouse or our children because they're good. We could like them even if they're hurtful. We could like them. We could show and demonstrate unconditional love regardless of what they do. And that comes about if a parent withstands that nisayon of having such a child, chalila v'chas, on anyone, and he builds up that muscle, so to speak, to have that unconditional love, he ends up exercising and demonstrating that unconditional love for others as well. And perhaps that's why we have that nisayon, that we could build up that unconditional love. And if we build up that unconditional love, that will arouse further HaKadosh Baruch Hu's unconditional love for Klal Yisrael. It's always Midah K'Megen Midah. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is like a tzel, like a shadow. Whatever we do, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Kevayachol imitates. If we show unconditional love for others, if we show unconditional love for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then He will show unconditional love for us. Ani Hashem lo ishenisi, but there could be greater levels in unconditional love. And perhaps that's the sign of our generation. We could be zeicha to geula through zchusim, halavai. But then we could be zeicha to geula without zchusim, without being zeicha because we do mitzvahs. We could be zeicha because it's such a thing as be'ita. There's a time that's right, mitzidoyez barak. And that mitzidoy Yisbarach will come because of the unconditional love that he has for us. He will bring us the geula even if we're not worthy for it. And if we're holding by ikvus of the Mashiach, like the Gedolim of the previous generation said, then perhaps this is the right time to have these challenges because we need to work on unconditional love. I want to share with you a peledika maisa. You can't make up this maisa if you tried. It happened during the Holocaust. As we know, the Germans, Yimach Shemam, had forced labor, and they were rallying up the Yidden, mamish lining them up. They had like mamish everyone's name and census. They had just to go after and capture every single Yid and force them to either hard labor or to gas chambers to mamish. The motive was to wipe out Klal Yisrael, Rachmana Litzlan. And to some degree, they were successful. They wiped out at that time, whether it be a half or a third of Klal Yisrael that was living at that time. It's only now, almost 100 years later, that we sort of came back to the numbers that we had a century ago. At that time, many people went into hiding. We probably all know of people or relatives who went into hiding. And some people used to hide in basements of buildings. Basements that weren't really inhabitable. There were no apartments there. They were like cellars. But that's where they lived under terrible conditions. Terrible conditions. And then in the middle of the night, they would climb out of the windows and forage around to try to find food. That's what they did. And unfortunately, not everyone was successful to make it back. If they were discovered, they were shot. If they noticed the Germans, Yimach Shemam, if they noticed a Yid coming out of a certain cellar of a building, they realized that there must be Yidden hiding in that building. And they would surround the building. And then, with achzorius neirois, mamish achzorius, they used to set a fire, set the basement in on fire. And basically, every Yidden there faced a horrible fate. They had to make a decision, a horrific choice. Do they climb out of that cellar and get immediately shot on the spot? Or do they remain in the cellar and get burnt to death? Burnt alive to death or suffocate. And that's how the Germans, Yimach Shemam, murdered ruthlessly thousands of Yidden. After the war, people would tour these shelters, tour these cellars, to just to understand the conditions the Yidden were living in at the time, trying to understand what was going through their minds in the very last moments of their lives. What were they thinking when they were crammed, starving, and knowing that at any moment their lives may be extinguished? And in one of these cellars, someone found a poignant letter addressed to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It was written apparently while the basement was ablaze. And I will read for you the nusach of the letter. Dear HaKadosh Baruch Hu, with the last few moments of my life, I want to share my feelings towards you. I understand that you took away my business and you took away my house. I recognize that you even took away my wife and my children. And now I realize that you're taking away my life. But there's one thing that you will never take away from me: the love that I have for you. That was the end of the letter. That's a Yid, the ultimate way a Yid lives, and the ultimate way a Yid dies. It's an Ava She'ena Tluya B'Davar. No matter what a person's going through, no matter what challenge a person has, an Ava to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Ava She'ena Tluya B'Davar. Mechoivos HaVavos in Shayud, in Avos Hashem, Perek Aleph. We're going to end off with this. He says that he spoke about one of the Hasidim that got up at night and said the following: Elokai, Herevtani, you starved me. Ve'eroi ma'zavtani, and you left me bare and naked. V'machashakei ha'laylo yishavtani, you placed me in the deep darkness, in the throes of darkness of this world. But in your strength and your godless, I made a shvua. What was the shvua? Im tisrafeni be'esh, if you burn me with fire. Ve'oisif ki im av oischa v'sameicha b'cha, v'simcha b'cha. I will in turn love you and rejoice with you. You could burn me to death, Kolila v'chas, but I will love you and love you and love you. It's really a pasuk in Eve. The pasuk says, "Hein yiktaleni ilo yayachal." Even when HaKadosh Baruch Hu kills me, I'm a yachal. I look forward to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And l'chayr, this is the inan that Shlomo Melech was miramis to in Shir Hashirim Pelech Aleph. Tzror hamor doidi li bein shada yolin. And Chazal in Shabbos Pechesim Ebei says, Darshan Zapasik, Tzror Hamor, Afal pi shemeitzeli, Tzror, you're meitzeli, you're hurting me, Umeimali, and you're forsaking me, Bein Shada Yolin, you're still residing in me, in my heart, in my bosom, that's where you are. I love you. I love you no matter what you do, Ani lo shenisi, well, Christ says also, Ani lo shenisi. I won't change the love that I have for you no matter what. That was the bris ha'ava that Klal Yisrael entered with Avraham Avinu. There was a chassida sheyid, a gera chassid. His name is Rav Gadol Eisner. He's the mashkiach rutni in yeshivas Chedushei Arim. They have a sefer called Mishnasa she Rav Gadol. He was known in the gera world. He's very known. And he brings down a sefer that during the Holocaust, One of his talmidim saw him in the book on the wall case. Horrific, Gehenna on earth. Horrific conditions. And his Talmud ran over to him and he asked him for chizik. Please be mechazik me, Rebbe, give me chizik. How can I withstand this? Give me chizik. And Rav Gadol looked at him, paused, and then took off his shoe and pulled out a piece of paper. And on that piece of paper were these words of the Chovis of Office. During the Gehenna of the Holocaust, that's how Rav Gadol went through the Holocaust. He went through the Holocaust is im tisrafeini be'esh, Lo oisif kim ava oischa v'simcha b'chad. I will be moisif in the av and the simcha that I have for you. That is a yidra b'isai. We entered the 3 weeks. It is the time of our challenge, the time of our galus. We have to remember that HaKadosh Baruch Hu loves us just the same. Lo ma'astim v'lo ga'altim v'chaloisim l'hofer brisi itam. He did not breach his bris. The Av is one and the same, Ani Lo Shanisi, and it's incumbent upon us to feel that Ava, to recognize that Ava, and at the same time to counter and demonstrate that same Ava for Kadosh Baruch Hu with all of our tzaris, with all of our challenges. We still have that Ava, Lo Yayachel, no matter what a person goes through. Hein Yikteleini Lo Yayachel. We have to love HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and through the unconditional love that we display to others, the unconditional love that we display to for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when we keep the bris shel Avraham Avinu, that we show and we develop this unconditional love for others, with that we will arouse the unconditional love of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and we'll be zeicher to the Geula Shleima b'mehera v'yameinu Amen. Shkoyach for listening, Rabbi Zayn.
Yeah. No?
Sorry, what'd you say? I didn't hear. What about Lo Yachel?
You use the pasuk of Heni Kaleni Lo Yachel. That pasuk Chazal says is Afilu Charev Kadam Nachas Al Tzavai Shel Adam.
Okay.
Saying so, Pashas, that's not in a situation where something bad happened to the person. That's before practicing something that happened. It was
When a
still.
person has a cherev kadam munachas al tzavari, that's not a challenging time.
I'm saying that.
That's quite challenging. The people are right now who are held in hostage and are still in Gaza, they're not going through a challenging time. That's a challenging time. And on that it says, the same time when he was in a blaze and he was about to go, that's loyayachal. The one thing you won't ever take away from me is the love that I have for you. Loyayachal. No matter what. When even a person suffered something in the past and it already happened, but even that suffering is how we interpret it. It's from a perspective. When Avraham Avinu lost Sarah Imenu, that was very challenging. But it's still HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That was one of the Nisyonis, and it's still Avraham Avinu, yes, got a plot and bought it for Abba Meizuz and all that. And he was successful in the challenge. He rose to the challenge. There was a Lo Yayachel throughout. It was a Bris Shel Ahava that has unconditional bris. Had nothing to do with HaKadosh Baruch Hu treats Klal Yisrael. It was a bris Sheina Tzliya B'davar. Hatzlacha.
Okay.
Brachtia.